Well, Shabbat Shalom again, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
We've started off last week to study about all the different gifts of the Spirit. And as we know, last week, we did wisdom. Next week, we'll be doing faith. But first of all, this week, we're going to discuss knowledge. Knowledge is an interesting thing, isn't it? We're going to start off again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to do verses 7 and 8. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And it tells us right there that to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Amen. It doesn't say that you might or maybe you'll receive it. It says to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. So, I mean, we should really think about that. That's something to get excited about, is it not?
Yes.
It's a promise. It is a promise. You cannot be His and not given the manifestation of the Spirit.
That's right.
Now, we're going to go over all of these gifts, and it tells us there as we go on in the Scripture that each of us receives some of these gifts. I think as we go along in these gifts, we will see, I think it very much is indicated that some of these gifts we will all receive. For example, last week when we talked about wisdom, I think it was clear that we should all be seeking wisdom and receive it. I think we'll find the same thing today about knowledge. And we will most certainly next week find that about faith. Amen. So some of these gifts we shall all receive. Now, it goes on to verse 8. It says, to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. So that's where we're going to start this week, because we're talking about knowledge. So, how important do you think the Spirit of knowledge is? The gift of knowledge. Well, we're going to start right off with a scripture, I think, that shows the vast importance of knowledge. We're going to go to the prophet Hosea, chapter 4 and verse 6. The prophet says, the Lord says through the prophet here, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Sounds very important, doesn't it? And it says, if the people reject his gift of knowledge, he will reject them as priest. Okay? So maybe somebody says, well, I don't want to be a priest. I just want to be a child of God. I just want to make it to the kingdom. I don't want to be a priest. You might have somebody in the world tell you that if you quoted this scripture to them, might you not? It's very possible they might. So maybe we need to establish as we go along here exactly what it means to be a priest to him. Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 4, says, John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Messiah Yeshua, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priest, serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, he tells us very clearly there, to the ones that he covers with his blood, he has made to be a kingdom of priests to serve his Father, does he not? So if you want the covering of his blood, you are in fact a priest to his Father. And again, for more confirmation on that, because you know they say they like to get two witnesses, we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Okay. So there is no doubt what the Word of God means when it talks about being a priest unto him. Doesn't mean you're fixing to become a Levite. It means that you have the covering of his blood and he has appointed you as one of his own people and you are a part of his royal priesthood. You're not the high priest. He's the high priest. But you are a part of his royal priesthood. Exactly like we were talking about this morning. Aaron was the high priest. His sons were priests, but they weren't the high priest, were they? So we have a high priest. We have the Messiah. But you are a part of his priesthood if you are a part of him. If you're not a part of his priesthood, you are not a part of him. So, to be rejected as being a priest for him would be what? It would mean that you do not have salvation. So that is how important the gift of knowledge is when we read in Hosea 4:6. When he says, if you reject my knowledge, I will reject you as a priest. He didn't say I might or I'll think about it. He says, I will reject you as a priest. So, you cannot reject this gift of knowledge and still be a part of him. That is how important it is. It is vitally important to your salvation, to our salvation. So, also, I would like to point out in that scripture in Hosea that he tells us what? He ties knowledge in with what? With his law, does he not? He goes on that second part of Hosea to say, you have forgotten your God's laws, that he will also forget your children. So scripture ties rejecting his knowledge and forgetting his law together. Now, think about it. What's happened in this country? Tomorrow morning, in pulpits all across this nation, there will be men standing in front of congregations preaching that his law is void. It's kaput. It's finished. No longer valid. Hosea ties that in with the rejecting of his knowledge, does he not? Because when we study the Word of God, that does what? That brings us knowledge, does it not? And when we study the Word of God, it is impossible to say that his law is void. We know that. We don't have to go all of those scriptures because we as a group know that. We've looked at them. If anyone were to be listening on the podcast that doesn't know that, I would suggest starting in chapter 5 of Matthew and read the whole thing. And you will certainly come away knowing that as long as this earth is here, his law is here. So, but as a group, we know that. So, to reject his knowledge leads to rejecting his law, and it leads to your children being rejected by him. So not only is it your salvation at stake, it's your children's salvation at stake. And all of these guys are going to be preaching tomorrow morning that the law is void, done away with. Who do they use to say that? They use the Apostle Paul, do they not? They take the Apostle Paul out of context. They twist his scriptures. And they tell you the law is done away with. We were warned about that in Scripture, were we not? Peter warned us about it 2,000 years ago. He said, don't fall for it. In fact, we'll read that just to refresh ourselves on it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. He says, therefore, beloved, while you're waiting for these things, and he's talking about the return of the Lord, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him. Now last week we talked about wisdom, did we not? So we have a clear indication here that what? Paul had the gift of wisdom. All right. Goes on to 16, says, speaking of this, as he does in all his letters, there are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. So Peter warned, the apostle Peter said, my beloved brother Paul, he actually said our beloved brother Paul, I think he was speaking for himself and the other apostles and disciples. He said, our beloved brother Paul is a complicated guy to understand. Did he not? But he also said, he's writing to you about the exact same things I am. In other words, me and Paul are in agreement. And he goes on to say, you therefore, beloved, since you are forewarned, beware that you are not carried away with the error of the lawless and lose your own stability. So what did Peter just say those who twisted Paul's writings out of context were? They were the lawless. He didn't say they're the ones saying the commandments are valid, did he? He said, no. He said, there are all those guys that's going to be up there Sunday morning in pulpits all across America teaching you that the law is void. Don't be carried away with it. That's what Peter said, because they are twisting my brother Paul out of context. And he goes on there, tells us how to avoid that. Verse 18, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Messiah Yeshua. To him by the glory both now and the day of eternity. Amen. So he told us how. How are you going to avoid that? To grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. So, like we said, Paul had the gift of wisdom. And we're instructed to grow in grace and knowledge to avoid falling for that error of the lawless ones. So, we see the result here of what happens if we reject knowledge. Okay? It means you're lost. Simple as that. Reject his knowledge, you're lost. You're done. You're toast. Literally, you're toast. So what does it mean to receive his knowledge? Should be the exact opposite, should it not? Now let's look in Proverbs. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It says there, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. The fear of the Lord, as your translation will read. And that's the Hebrew word yira. Okay? Now, you hear a lot of people teach a lot of different things about what it means to fear the Lord or to fear Yahweh. Well, the Hebrew word's pretty cut and dried on it. It means fear, terror. An awesome and terrifying thing. Now, that's pretty plain what it means to fear him, does it not? You'll have some people teach that it doesn't mean to fear him. No, it actually means to fear him. It actually means to fear him. But understand, it also means an awesome and terrifying thing. So our God is both of those. He is an awesome God. He's also a terrifying God, because it is a terrifying thing to come under his wrath, is it not? We talked about that in Torah this morning, did we not? About how sometimes, even in New Testament example, when people came under his wrath, what happened? They died immediately. That's it. Bam. Over with. That's pretty terrifying, isn't it? Pretty terrifying. So, when people tell you that that word means something other than fear, they're trying to mislead you a little bit, because it means fear. It means fear. Now, should we seek after knowledge? Does it tell us to seek it? Yes. Proverbs, the same book, Proverbs 18 and 15 says, "The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." So, it says the wise seek knowledge. Does it not? The wise seek knowledge. So you would think if you're a wise person, you're already knowledgeable, right? Doesn't the two seem to go together? But not necessarily, does it? That's why wisdom and knowledge are two separate gifts. Oftentimes they're confused as the same thing by people, but they're two different things. You can be wise and not be knowledgeable. Now, the two go well together. That's why often scriptures talk about wisdom and knowledge together. It's like Brother David, I think last week, I believe it was, when we were talking, he was talking about the two. And that wisdom helps you to know when and how to use the knowledge. And that's a good point, is it not? Because you could have the knowledge and not the wisdom, and you would go against the scriptures we were talking about this morning, wouldn't you? Someone would not be convicted. You'd still be trying to pound that knowledge at them, unless you had the wisdom to know when and when not to. So they are two different things. But it clearly tells us there to seek knowledge, that if you're wise, you will seek knowledge. So, in Psalms 119, verses 65 and 66 tell us, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in thy commandment." Well, first of all, we see again there that the commandments and the knowledge are coupled together. We see as we go through scripture that they are tied together inseparably. But secondly, it tells us what there? Teach me good discernment and knowledge. So, can you be taught a gift? Can you be taught a gift? Goes against what we think, doesn't it? Because people think of, you take children, we'll just use children for an example, that play sports or something. One of them that's just really good and stuff, we'll say, "Oh, he's gifted." Another kid we may say, "Well, he has to work for it." It doesn't matter if it's school, sports, whatever you want to apply it to. When we think in human understanding, we don't think about being able to be taught a gift. The human mind automatically thinks that a gift's something you just, bam, it's just there. We read about Paul earlier in the Torah study. He learned the things that he was speaking of. They weren't automatic, did he? He learned them. The same goes for us, and the same goes with these gifts. These gifts require action on our part. We don't just one day sit on our couch and say, "You know, I believe in the Lord," and bam, you're hit with his wisdom and knowledge. That's not how it works. The scripture here says to teach me. All right? And so some might say, well, how do you know that that's the gifts of discernment and knowledge being spoken of there? Well, in James chapter 1, verse 17, James says, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He says, every good thing is from above. And that says, teach me good discernment and knowledge. So this is clearly the discernment and knowledge that comes from above, from the Father to us, that he's telling them, he's asking him to teach us. Okay? So, say the things of God are a real mystery. When we try to apply human reasoning to them, it doesn't work. It does not work. So, we see there the Word of God speaks of learning a gift. Okay? And it requires action on our part. The very scriptures that tell us about the Holy Spirit, like in Acts 2 and 38, everybody's probably familiar with that scripture, but let's read it. It says, and Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now what happened there? Peter said, you take action, you do this, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did he not? He said, repent and be baptized, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It requires action on our part. It doesn't say, like I said, lay back and do nothing and it'll just come upon you. And it goes in Proverbs 51 and 14 tells us, the mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on folly. Okay? So I think that goes hand in hand with it. We are supposed to seek knowledge. All these scriptures over and over tell us to seek knowledge. You come to him, you receive the Holy Spirit, and then you do what? You seek out his knowledge. It doesn't just come on you, blink. Where do you find his knowledge? Where do you find it? In the Word, right here in these holy scriptures. You go in them and you seek that knowledge out. And, as the Apostle James said, he will give it to you. But you must seek it out. It's not a, you know, to repeat myself, it's not just a bam, something that goes on, just happens immediately. It is not like a lot of denominations teach, that you say a certain prayer or you do a certain thing and then just all of a sudden you're the wisest man on the face of the earth with God's knowledge. The Apostle Paul, the light shined down on him so brightly that it blinded him. He couldn't see for days. Couldn't see until someone else laid hands on him. But it tells us in the scripture we read this morning that he learned these things. They didn't immediately come to him then. He had to go away to Damascus, when you read his own writings, for 3 years and study with the Lord. For 3 years, the Apostle Paul, after that light shined down on him, went away and studied with the Lord to learn these things, to let the Lord teach him these things. Do we think we're better than the Apostle Paul? I'm not. I'm a sinner just like the Apostle Paul was. He wasn't a good guy before he came to the Lord, neither was I. You know? And I suspect none of us here were good people before we came to the Lord, because without the Lord, it is impossible to be a good person scripturally. You might be called good. A lot of people, when I didn't know the Lord, called me a good guy. Didn't mean I was. They were measuring me by earthly standards, not godly standards. And I think we seek after God's standards, do we not? So the Word of God tells us to seek out this knowledge, for to let him, allow him to teach it to us. Seek it and he will give it. That means we go and we study. If you do nothing, you will receive nothing. It's as simple as that. It's that same principle. We teach our children that, do we not? If you want something, you have to do something. Well, our Father in heaven tells us the same thing. But he tells us to seek this knowledge. And in fact, we see there where we started from Hosea that without it, you don't have salvation. So out of all these gifts we're going to speak about as we go through these weeks, we certainly need to make sure that we're seeking after these first two. We've talked about that, do we not? Last week, I think we established that with wisdom. This week with knowledge. It is vital to our salvation. Vital to our salvation. And the beginning of all of this is to humble yourself. It tells us in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. So we have to do what? We have to humble ourselves. We have to pray to him. We have to seek his face. And all of these scriptures we've looked at tells us we have to seek out his knowledge. And if we seek out his knowledge, we are promised he will give it to us. So out of all of these nine gifts that we're going to go over, you can be assured that each one of us can acquire the gift of knowledge. I'm not talking about earthly knowledge. I'm talking about heavenly knowledge. We are promised that if we seek it. Amen. And I'd like to close with quoting Job. Teach me and I will be silent, and show me how I've erred. Now, Job pretty well said it all there, didn't he? Teach me and I will be silent. Because if we are constantly talking, can we learn? We can't, can we? Now, we do this weekly when we come in fellowship together. We are supposed to reason together and talk together. Scripture tells us to do that. That's how we lift each other up and edify each other. So I'm not talking about when we're in assembly here that we have to sit around and be silent. No. We lift each other up by discussion in that. But we have to have our moments during our week when we study, when we are silent, where we can listen to what he tells us. Because if you constantly have noise, how will you hear God? You have to have your downtime, your silent time. I personally find mine about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Everybody probably has their own times. But we have to have those times when we are silent. And when we have those times and we study his word and we seek his knowledge, he promises that he will give it. And that's what we have this week on the gift of knowledge. I hope all of us here receive it. And always remember this. It starts with action on our part, because the Spirit does not dwell in a dirty house. David talked about us being the temple. If you've got a dirty house, a life full of iniquity and sin, I promise you scripturally the Spirit will not dwell within you. So you'll never be able to understand the mystery of his knowledge if you've got a dirty house. So let's take the action like Peter talked about. Let's clean our own selves up, seek his knowledge, and we are promised we will get it. Now let's stand together and do our blessings. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.